Scott with SJWellfire.com. Final Days Report, episode 464. This VCast, we're going to cover the mark of the brain computer interface, AI machine, a new company for this beast system. Sam Altman's joining the fray with DARPA technology. And then also, we're going to unlock some conspiracies around the ballroom. What exactly is going on, and how does that fit to the Antichrist in this AI beast system? Lastly, who are the real Satanists, the powerful Satanists, these Luciferians? And what's the psyop behind Luciferians in Hollywood? And we're going to end with, why do these Satanists hate Christians so much? Interesting podcast, my friends. We're going to get into some Bible scripture in the end. Now, the first story I want to cover with this brain-computer interface soul trap that has read-write capability. Well, Sam Altman's startup called Merge, merging with brain-computer interface to artificial intelligence, this DARPA technology. Get this, he wants to read your brain waves. Let's read a couple articles. Sam Altman funding biomedical startup to read human brains using sound waves. Just like we've covered with the cell phone technology and probably your television as well. Sound waves to read your brain. Altman taps a leading researcher for his brain computer interface startup, suggesting a much less invasive approach to Elon Musk's Neuralink. And Elon Musk has said we don't need invasive surgery as well. That, to me, is a psyop. Remember, the nanotech crossed the blood-brain barrier. I'll show some pictures in the next couple slides. Another headline, Sam Altman's Merge Labs wants to read your mind without drilling into your brain. Oh, goody. And again, we've covered 9 excuses why people will sign up for this technology. They're going to be willing participants. A lot of it's around health, and a lot of it is around getting skills. Can't beat an AI, join it, as Elon said. Let's read a little bit from the article. The insight is based on a new hiring decision by Altman. He reportedly tapped into Mikhail Shapiro, a famous biomolecular engineer from Caltech, to join the brain-computer interface startup, which is yet to be officially announced. Shapiro's specialty has been researching non-invasive approaches for scanning the human brain, which does not require surgery, unlike the brain implants being developed by Elon Musk's Neuralink. In August, the Financial Times reported that Altman will merge alongside with Alex Blania, who heads the eyeball scanning blockchain startup. Remember we covered that? Scan your eye to get crypto, and people were lining up that creepy ball called World. One big DARPA club. I'm not buying any of this, my friends. And oh, by the way, Altman, ChatGPT, just received $90 million to change the search of the Bible, of Israel's role within the Bible.
ChatGPT questions related to the history of Christianity and will now be altering answers to be more friendly to Israel. Israel's pouring millions of dollars into ChatGPT and other AI systems to bolster Christian support in America. And in doing so, becomes the first country to openly bribe AI. Christian support for Israel in America is declining, and the Israeli government is pouring $90 million into the history of Christianity on ChatGPT, changing ancient names to Israel and emphasizing Jewish culture in the Bible. Now, the U.S. has already signed off on allowing the Israeli government to buy up contracts with AI, again, the only country that can do so, and they're now looking to make people religiously believe and support Israel through AI answers. Also partnered with YouTube to alter search results, all things that the Trump administration has signed off on and allowed the Israeli government to invest in.
And again, if you follow the ministry of SJWellfire.com, personally, I think the woman rides the beast. The woman, personally, I think is Jerusalem, sits on 7 hills, killed the prophets. We go over multiple Bible studies on SJWellfire.com and we'll get kicked off the beast with the 10 horns. You're seeing that happen today. But for those of you listening on a podcast service, I just pulled an old slide of what they found in the As the Days of Noah Devil Juice, and it looks a lot like neural lace. mapping your brain. And it fits scripture, as we've talked often in this ministry, Revelation 18, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, because it's optogenetics. It's mind controlism technology. For that thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Think of Bill Gates, the merchants of this world, the great men who are the multi-billionaires. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Stay away from sorcery, which is pharmakia, especially if it involves needles, my friends. Pray for discernment. And another old slide that we've covered over the years with the As the Days of Noah, devil juice. This looks like a chip. This is, all of these pictures are from LaQuintaColumna.net, scientist. I mean, you literally have this in the poke with letters in it. And oh, by the way, yes, this went past the blood-brain barrier, and they're positioning new technology, new mRNA technology, lipid nanoparticle that we know is in the devil juice. This platform goes across the blood-brain barrier, and they're going to position this as a cure. They're going to position this as, hey, we can fight brain cancer. Give you cancer? Disease is skyrocketing, as we've always said. Cure your disease. It is a wicked business model, my friends. Then you need to think about Larry Ellison, Stargate AI, that we've covered multiple times, where he pushed that announcement the second day of Trump's administration. Hey, we're going to cure cancer. Really? Really? Elon Musk with the right mRNA sequencing, we can turn you into a butterfly. They want you as mind-controlled zombie pets if you survive it. Run from this, my friends. Speaking of Elon, one of the theories that we have, or one thing that we're watching, is Elon Musk, the false prophet that will bring on the mark of the beast, that will bring on this AI technology. Elon Musk says the AI supersonic tsunami will eliminate desk jobs at a very rapid pace. Recent interview. But then he goes on to say that he's still bullish on the future. In one scenario, Elon envisions universal high income, but there'll be carrots. This will be the mark of the beast system. This will be worshiping the image, which personally I think is a hologram that will speak tied to artificial intelligence and a fake resurrection of the Antichrist, the dream that I've covered often. So I always talk about the headwinds that we're facing, increased costs, car insurance, home insurance, health insurance. Meanwhile, they're taking away the jobs, inflation for food, you name it. They're imploding everything by design. And they're giving us their central bank digital currencies, their stable coins, central bank digital currency light. It smells like a pump and dump. Digitizing everything. Check out some of our old VCasts. We covered this at length. Now, here's where it's getting very interesting with Trump's ballroom. And for those of you that have been listening to me for a long time, I was a marketing executive for Fortune 100 companies. I ran $100 million, $200 million business units, so I had P&L accountability, and I would actually donate money, but it came out of my marketing budget. And we would do, what is the payback for me to donate to a said cause? How can we leverage it? How can we communicate it against it? How can we leverage our brand equity? How can we build the associations of our brand in a positive way? How can we build community? How can we leverage it with the trade and our customers to get feature and displays, to actually leverage with their consumers? So we didn't just donate money without a return, without discussion. And so let's look at who is donating to the ballroom. Well, it's basically big tech, Amazon, Apple, Booz Allen, Inc., linked to big tech. They're a consulting group. And I highlighted in blue the future mark of the beast money system. We have Coinbase linked to big tech cryptocurrency exchange. We have Ripple linked to big tech blockchain cryptocurrency solution. Tether linked to big tech cryptocurrency. We have Charles and Marissa Cascarilla, linked to big tech, co-founders of Paxos, a blockchain company. Blockchain to me, is an abomination. Everything's going to be transparent. Everything is going to be on the blockchain. I'm sure there's some good to the technology, but how can it be used for evil? Evil. Those are the questions you need to ask. Then we have two founders of Gemini cryptocurrency exchange. It's wild. Meta's there. And we've talked about Meta having IDF executives from Israel. Do you remember when a lot of these big tech companies actually morphed military? They took these big tech executives and gave them military status. You should be scratching your head. There's Palantir on this list. Then we have T-Mobile linked to big tech telecommunications. When I saw that, it just reminded me of 6G, right? Everything is a counterfeit, the prince and power of the air. And 6G, remember the articles that we've covered, how there's a theory that humans will power 6G? You can't make any of this stuff up. So of course they're going to look for a payback, but it gets more interesting. This went viral, 8 million views from Andrew Kerr, who basically is an architect. Here's why the new White House ballroom project is not real. The demo is obviously real. Some background. I am a licensed architect with 20 years of experience. I have worked on multiple federal projects with sensitive building programs that require background checks. So this is somebody that has credibility. And I always heard that becoming an architect is one of the toughest degrees. Some people pointed out the exterior rendering I used was discredited by Snopes. Now, I'm not sure if Snopes discredited him exactly or just discredited the exterior rendering. My apologies. I found the image on a reputable news site. Funny, the news can lie to you with the reversal of the Smith-Mundt Act. I have updated the images to be from the White House sources. My analysis remains the same. However, the projected size of 9,000 square feet and the newly revised budget of $300 million, the cost per square foot would be, get this, occult number, numerology, $3,333. They love 33. And why do they love 33? Because it's a third of the fallen angels. No building costs anywhere near that, basically $1,000 per square foot is off the charts. Is astronomical, he goes on to say. So basically over $3,000 doesn't make any sense. But let's assume, since we're drawing the classical style, that the proportions of the building adhere to the golden ratio. A 90,000 square foot building would be a building with a footprint of roughly 380 by 235, longer than a football field, and basically 1.5 times as wide. The building is projected to accommodate, get this, another Luciferian tell, 999 people. They love to invert things. So think 666, right? 16 square feet per person is required for banquet area. 20 square feet per person is pretty comfortable. What you see in the rendering below is closer to 20 square feet per person. That's only 2,000 square feet of space, 200 by 100. It's supposed to be a ballroom. So let's extraordinarily be generous and provide 10,000 square feet for the ballroom support functions. So that's probably like the kitchen. And another 10,000 square feet for pre-function. Extraordinarily generous. That's still only 40,000 square feet, not even half of the supposed building. So what are they going to do with the other half? There are no drawings for the building. The renderings are poorly coordinated. Exterior views do not match the interior views. See below, the White House is 70 feet tall to the roof. The interior renderings show a room that is roughly 100 by 200 with a 20-foot ceiling. The exterior renderings show a building footprint of 4.5 times that amount. So he just basically says this is garbage. The renderings that could be produced by young staff in a week or two at most, nothing else exists, probably done by AI. And all of this reminds me where I'm going to go with my theory, going back to big tech supporting this, is it reminds me of how the government is going to control artificial intelligence with a handful of companies. And this venture capitalist, he's like, the only reason why, you know, this is why I'm going to be voting for Trump, but it's wings of the same bird, because you need to think of this right-left theater. you need to think about Trump's uncle getting Tesla's inventions, how both parties over the years have suppressed multiple patents, free energy type patents. Are you buying this right-left nonsense? I'm not for a second. Check out our last podcast about Oracle. Oracle would not exist without CIA contracts. You're watching a show, my friends. But let's play this venture capitalist talking about how only a few AI companies will rule the day. I don't think that's changed under Trump.
Meetings in D.C. in May where we talked to them about this, and the meetings were absolutely horrifying, and we came out basically deciding we had to endorse Trump.
What did you hear in those meetings?
AI is a technology basically that the government is going to completely control. This is not going to be a startup thing. They actually said flat out to us, don't do AI startups. Like, don't fund AI startups. It's not something that we're going to allow to happen. They're not going to be allowed to exist. There's no point. They basically said AI is going to be a game of two or three big companies working closely with the government, and we're going to basically wrap them in a, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to basically wrap them in a government cocoon. We're going to protect them from competition. We're going to control them, and we're going to dictate what they do. And then I said, I don't understand how you're going to lock this down so much, because like the math for, you know, AI is like out there and it's being taught everywhere. And, you know, they literally said, well, you know, during the Cold War, we classified entire areas of physics and took them out of the research community, and like entire branches of physics basically went dark and didn't proceed. And that if we decide we need to, we're going to do the same thing to the math underneath AI.
And, wow.
And I said, I've just learned two very important things. Because I wasn't aware of the former, and I wasn't aware that you were, you know, even conceiving of doing it to the latter.
Now, you need to think about this with the ballroom and the new demonic Baal temple that they're building. They feed each other, my friends. So my personal take on this, as a former marketing executive, is, are they building an AI center? Are they building an AI system for the Antichrist to show up as a hologram? That dream I had in 2008, where his head was connected to some sort of massive computer. Because in my dream, I saw after the Antichrist was hit with either a slow projectile, or a projectile slow to me, and or the spear of destiny, but he was taken out and they put his head on this computer and he showed up as a hologram. People went into a booth. Times were really rough. They came out as mind-controlled zombies hunting Christians. That's what I saw. I've covered the dream at length multiple times. And the computer room was grand. It was white. It was beautiful. It reminded me of the Abrahamic faith center in the Middle East, like a room like that. Is that what they're doing here? One AI to rule them all, the four or five that rule the world? And I'm not buying this China PSYOP. We've got to beat China. We run China's central bank. Now, Russia, they're a player. But personally, I think they all get together and they're all Freemasons in World War III, which will come upon us. Death will be real, will be scripted for the 10 kings, for the Club of Rome map. Then we have the UN map as well. And if you think about this, if I'm right with others, and we're a minority view, that Israel, right, killed the prophets, Jerusalem sits on seven hills, and we've done multiple Bible studies on why it makes sense that Jerusalem is the woman that gets kicked off the beast system. I think the beast system basically are those city-states, Rome, London, Washington, D.C. But if the 10 kings hate the whore, burn her with fire, it makes total sense because it fits Zechariah 12 and 14, where all the military will come against Israel in the end of days, and a remnant will be saved. We need to pray that people get saved, obviously. Are they building a place for this AIB system to be run out of the ballroom with the Antichrist showing up as a hologram, speaking life to the statue, if you will? Unbelievable. What's going on? And I go back to these big tech companies. Like, why wasn't Ford donating money and GM and these others? It's for a purpose. Think of ID 2020 and all the things that are just going to digitally enslave us that we've always talked about, where you can't buy or sell without your, at first it'll be your ID 2020, but then it'll be morph into the Mark of the Beast system, this biohack system. It's amazing the times that we live in. All right, I want to switch gears. on just how we're getting played and who are the real Satanists and why do they fear Christians? I'm going to show some miracles as well at the end. But the first story, and a listener sent me the insider or really tickling my memory. Do you remember when the replica of the Syrian arch for Baal was destroyed by ISIS and then it went on this road show around the world, New York City? Here's an article about this Baal temple and the replica they put in New York City where you could go and touch it. Personally, when I was reading some of these articles, I wonder if people got cursed touching this. This is a reproduction of the Temple of Baal is coming to New York. This is in 2016. This is an older article, New York Times Square next month, as a tribute to the 2,000-year-old original structure that was destroyed by ISIS last year in Syria. Probably the only thing that ISIS, which is USA Inc. and Israel, did that was good, destroying the Baal Temple. But this fits scripture, Jeremiah 32, verses 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. So Israel was sacrificing their kids to Lucifer. Flat out. And now we're watching the arch, which looks like a Baal temple that Trump is building in Washington, D.C., or he's trying to build.
Any of the three sizes, which is right now, I don't know if you can see it, 7, that's Lady Liberty.
We're going to build a room that's going to be able to hold literally the inauguration if we want. All of the glass on the sides is bulletproof. It's 999 people it can hold. So if we figure we have 125 people in here approximately now, which I've never seen before. I've always heard it's less than 100. But it's amazing when you have too many people, you can fit them in. You know, you can always fit a few more people in. And pardon the fact that you're a little tight at your table. That's okay. That's better than lots of room for everybody because nobody shows up, right? You've been so generous in your contributions. Very substantial money. Fully financed, it's fully taken care of now. And in fact, we'll have money left over and we'll use that for something. We'll use that probably maybe for the Ark or something else that will come. But we love to fix up Washington.
And we've been programmed for portals as well. These temples remind me of portals. Are they going to lay on a ley line? Think of CERN. This is wicked. MAGA, again, is the highest name for the Church of Satan. Think of the floor with the Freemasons, black and white, evil and good. That is the script, the divide and conquer script that we're all under. It's unbelievable the times we're living in. All right, I just thought this was a profound video of the psyop of Satanism. And listen closely to who wrote the Satanic Bible. It's a psyop, my friends. He uses the word LARPing, acting. Now, I think there's power here because little people will start to worship Lucifer. So there's an element that's very obviously dangerous here. But these aren't the true Satanists that are running the world. Let's play this video. I'm going to tell a couple quick stories that happened to me running into these Luciferians that were high-powered business people. Let's roll it.
People don't even understand the Church of Satanism. That's controlled up. They want you to think Satanism is about red horns, a pitchfork, this LARP character. Anton LaVey's real name is Howard Stanton LaVey, and the Satanic Bible was written by Asaph Dayan, which is the son of Moshe Dayan, who basically founded the IDF.
Yeah, he helped, he ran weapons and sent weapons to Israel as he was infiltrating Hollywood to push Satanism.
They are so ahead of the mark that they produce controlled opposition Satanism. So that instead of looking at Talmudic Satanism, which is really what Satanism is a stepping stone towards, if you look deeply enough, they just want us to look at
the horns,
Anton LaVey, Satanism, LARPing, a bunch of these dysgenic losers or incels getting together and LARPing and like, down with Christianity. Yeah. And all the boomer types get offended. Actually, that's a distraction while the actual degeneracy and the normalization of evil is happening through these Talmudic folk.
I know, I do think it's interesting that at the same time, He's trying to create Israel, and he's also pushing Satanism at the exact same time, the exact same guy.
They know what they're doing.
But it's also, you look at like some of their, like, they believe in their God. Look at Epstein Island, for example. You see that giant, yeah, that temple built there. These are the most elite people in the world. They believe in this stuff. We cannot believe in it, but they believe in their demon gods.
Yeah, ultimately, the world is run by satanic pedophiles.
The world is run by satanic pedophiles. And just a couple quick stories running into these Luciferian business leaders. We had some very, very wealthy friends, nothing to do with business, but they had some strong family businesses, international in nature, very educated, cultured, super wealthy, huge house. We went to their party. This is shortly after I became a Christian. I must have read the Bible two or three times by that time. Now, I was still walking in the flesh, but subsiding with my drinking, all of that. And at this party, I'll never forget it, there was just a sense of evil. The dress, attire of some of the attendees. I don't know if you ever looked in somebody's eyes and you just see evil. And these are other participants at this pretty large party. And I'll never forget this. I'm in the living room and something catches my eye. It was almost like a family crest, but it was some artwork with the family history. They had these two very strange hook knives that looked ancient. Almost a half circle, small, odd, super odd. So I walk up close to it and I wanted to see the family history and what exactly was there. And I kid you not, below this crest, below this family history, this heirloom, whatever it was, there was a etched painting of that exact Baal temple that went on tour in 2016. And I didn't know it was a temple. I just read the small print and it said the Temple of Baal. And I'm like, holy smokes, these people are Luciferians. And what was strange at that party is the mother. She's talking around, very charismatic woman, talking, having fun. All of a sudden, and there must have been 100 people at this party. All of a sudden, she starts screaming, "Where are my daughters?" She had two young daughters. Scream, "Where are my daughters? Where are my daughters?" She started frantically running around the house looking for her daughters. When I went home, I was thinking, because I knew that these Luciferians mess with kids. You know, they're pedophiles. And they want to defile the innocent. And I got the sense that she was worried about her daughters being defiled by some of these high-powered Satanists at the party. Just screaming, "Where are my daughters?" And she ended up finding them. And many of these traumatized kids, they can hypnotize them. It was so odd. Needless to say, we cut off the relationship with them. Temple of Baal, part of this family crest. It was so strange. And I always wondered, even though they had good jobs, I mean, they had sick, sick money. All right, my last story, I want to give credit to the Lord for opening my eyes. Relatively baby Christian, doing business with this company, getting quite close to them. And I saw in a dream this young executive, family-run business, basically doing an eyes wide shut type of an event. Had the garb on. He was in a lodge, and this was a dream. He was looking up at a screen where it looked like somebody was tied up. I mean, a very, very vivid dream. I remember it like it was yesterday. So all of a sudden, I'm in this high-powered executive, owner of a business. I'm in his office, and you wouldn't believe the occult imagery. Signs and symbols rule the world. I was warned this dude is a Luciferian. And he had a dark presence to him. His eyes seemed wicked. I mean, I sensed that the first time I met him, like a psychopath. But I wonder, because the dream I had, he was very, very young. I wonder if his business took off once he joined the club. Did he get massive contracts? Because they were kind of a small company before that happened, in my humble opinion. I mean, at his age, they were not a big company when I saw the dream. Then all of a sudden, the company takes off. Huge contracts. Did he sell his soul for money? God only knows. Another company I worked for, this guy, he was not a Christian. He belonged to another religion. And he was shaken. He went to dinner with the leaders of the corporation. And he told me, he said, they talked about his God versus their God. And he said, these people worship Lucifer. I mean, this is mind-bending. I've run into this multiple times, my friends. Then you need to think about the Freemasons. Personally, I think the Freemasons are going to be the ones that behead Christians via the Noahide laws. And Sharia law will morph, Muslims and Jews will morph together because they believe in one God. They don't believe in the Trinity. And oh, by the way, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and God are in the Old Testament. I can prove it in a Bible study. I've been studying it for a couple years now. But Freemason, founded with Kabbalah, if you think about Albert Pike and Morals and Dogma, they worship Lucifer. They're going to be the ones that execute Noahide laws. Again, you need to understand that if you worship Jesus Christ, it's idolatry and it's off with your head. I personally don't think you're going to be raptured out of here. You need to endure to the end. That means keep your faith until the end and be a good witness. Now, we have Freemasons. We have business leaders that aren't necessarily part of the tribe, if you know what I mean. Then we have imposter Christian religions. At the top, they worship Lucifer. Think about the Ninth Circle. Think about the Vatican and their stage, their arena that's a snake, all the occult signs there. I mean, it's just nuts how they twisted scripture that to pray to Mary, a priest can't marry, but the Bible clearly says, be a pastor, you need to have kids and be married. It's an inversion, my friends. I used to pray to Mary when I went to Catholic school as a kid. And when I became saved, I almost went back to the Catholic Church, but I read my Bible. If you go to a Catholic church, I've been to multiple Catholic churches, services in my life. Nobody carries in a Bible. They're blind. Many of them are blind. Now, I'm not saying if you're Catholic, you're not saved, because I know for a fact, some Catholics I know really love Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But they like the ritual and the ceremony of the Catholic Church, and some of their friends are there. And I'll give the Catholic Church a little credit. I believed in God, but I wasn't saved. And I defended Jesus in a debate with an atheist. I was just like, dude, I'd hate to be you. And I wasn't even saved. Maybe that's why God is using me, because I had some loyalty, even though I wasn't saved. But you need to think about scripture in the synagogue of Satan. I mean, it's just right in front of you. Do you remember the articles we've covered about the ancient stolen artifacts from the tribe, from basically the synagogue of Satan with the Baphomet owl and the all-seeing eye that we get pre-programmed with from Hollywood? It's right in your face. There's nothing new under the sun. Think about the Baal worship. Sacrificing kids to Moloch. That's Lucifer. I'm going to play a video from a satanic ritual abuse victim that I remember watching Oprah. It's one of the few times I've ever watched Oprah, and I was blown away. And this is from 1989, and she was basically a satanic ritual abuse victim. She came out. She said that they masqueraded as part of the tribe, but they really worshiped Baal. And more people are coming out. I've seen other videos in recent times about this. So the people that worship Lucifer are very powerful. They're very diverse. They're not just 100% from the tribe, but they're often your strongest business leaders.
My next guest was used also in worshiping the devil, participated in human sacrifice rituals and cannibalism. She says her family has been involved in rituals for generations. She is currently in extensive therapy, suffers from multiple personality disorder, meaning she's blocked out many of the terrifying and painful memories of her childhood. Meet Rachel, who is also in disguise to protect her identity. You come from generations of ritualistic abuse?
Yes. My family has an extensive family tree, and they keep track of who's been involved and who hasn't been involved. And it's gone back to, like, 1700.
And so you were...
Right. I was born into a family that believes in this.
And this is a... Does everyone else think it's a nice Jewish family? From the outside, you appear to be a nice Jewish girl.
Definitely.
And you all are worshiping the devil inside the home?
Right. There's other Jewish families across the country. It's not just my own family.
Really? And so who knows about it? Lots of people now.
I talked to a police detective in the Chicago area, and several of my friends know, and I've spoke publicly before.
And so when you were brought up in this kind of evilness, did you just think it was normal?
I've blocked out a lot of the memories I had because of my multiple personality disorder. But, yes, I mean, it's like if you grow up with something, you think it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought...
So what kinds of things? You don't have to give us the gory details, but what kinds of things went on in the family?
Well, there would be rituals in which babies would be sacrificed, and you would have to, you know...
Who's babies?
There were people who bred babies in our family. No one would know about it. A lot of people were overweight, so you couldn't tell if they were pregnant or not, or they would supposedly go away for a while and then come back. The other thing I want to point out, not all Jewish people sacrifice babies. I mean,
no.
It's not a very
we kind of
thing.
Know that.
I just want to point that out.
This is the first time I heard of any Jewish people sacrificing babies. But anyway, so you witnessed the sacrifice.
Right. When I was very young, I was forced to participate in that, in which I had to sacrifice an infant.
And the purpose of sacrifice is to what? Is to bring you what? What are you sacrificing for?
For power.
Uh-huh. Power. And so were you ever used? Were you ever used yourself?
I was molested. I was raped several times.
Mm-hmm. And what's your mother doing?
She's...
In all of this. What's her role in all of this?
I'm not exactly what her role is. I haven't, you know, recovered all of my memories, but her family was extremely involved.
Mm-hmm.
She brought me to it. Mm-hmm. Both of my parents brought me to it.
And where is she now?
She lives in the Chicago metropolitan area. She's on the Human Relations Commission of the town that she lives in, and she's an upstanding citizen. Nobody would suspect her.
Were you raised with a sense of right and wrong, Rachel?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I had both. I mean, to the outside world, everything we did was proper and right, and then there were the nights that things changed, that things just got turned around. What was right was, what was wrong was right, and what was right was wrong. That's what helps to create somebody, to develop MPD.
Mm-hmm. Multiple personality.
Right.
Now, in your family, did you all call it worshiping the devil?
No.
Rachel,
I don't know.
It was just evil, things you did.
Right. Well, I said it was evil, and mm-hmm. they said it was good. There's a book that I had just come across called Lilith's Cave, which is a book of Jewish mysticism and supernatural. And there's a lot in that book that relates to what I, you know, endured when I was a child.
All right. I played this before, but this is the script on how after World War III, Jews and Muslims will get together. So you're going to morph Sharia law into Noahide laws. And who's going to be the common enemy? The unified body of Christ. And again, I'm a post-rapture person. You're going to have to endure to the end. This is the playbook. This is how it's going to go down, in my humble opinion.
Muslims are perfect monotheists. It's a fact of Jewish law that we believe that they worship the same God that we do. In the past, we've called it by different names, Yirei Shemayim, which means the people who have fear of heaven, Ger Toshav, or Bnei Noach, the children of Noah, or during Hellenist times in Greek it was called Theos Hebea, that this refers to the great number of non-Jewish believers who came to sacrifice the Kurban Shlamim in Jerusalem together with the Jews, Salamai, Muslimai, Muslimi. This could be a clear indication in our literature that Islam is an ancient religion dating back to the time of the Second Temple, or even earlier. If the roots of Islam are the same as what we call Bnei Noach, then for us, it is much older. This is the religion of Noah. This is the religion of Adam himself. Muslims are perfect monotheists.
Do you see the script playing out right before us? It's biblical, my friends. It is absolutely biblical. And you might be saying, well, no, Trump's a good guy. Trump's going to help us. Well, not so fast. Is he part of the tribe?
Donald Trump converted to Judaism 2 years ago, according to White House official. There it is. That's his blog. He said, President Donald Trump converted to Judaism 2 years ago and joined Chabad Lubavitch Synagogue in New York City, according to a high-level White House official. Mr. Goldberg says the story has allegedly been held by CNN's editors for months, but is due to be released within the next few days. David Elias Goldberg, a fellow at the Jewish Center of Anti-Semitic Study, has also interviewed the White House source. According to the source, Trump was pushed by his daughter Ivanka and son-in-law Jared Kushner to join the faith. At first, Trump resisted, stating it would threaten his base of evangelical Christian voters. However, he had a change of heart and officially converted in early 2017. The ceremony was held in private and closely guarded for nearly 2 years. It appears the White House is prepared to slowly release this information, and by summer, it is expected Trump will fully address his new faith in an evening televised news conference. He is clearly the most pro-Israel president in the history of America. He's given Israel every single thing that they've wanted, and he's about to give them war with Iran.
You okay?
And so has he converted? So I want to show you one more article. This is let me see if I can.
This is the Times of Israel.
Yeah, the Times of Israel. This was published March 22nd, 2019. This is the Times of Israel. Trump, the first Jewish president of the United States.
Now, that's not us saying that. That's Times of Israel.
Now, Trump, as well, has signed Noahide laws. And if you're a huge Trump fan, putting your faith in man, go to SJ Wellfire and just search Trump. I think I've covered 35 things that if a Democrat did, you would be scratching your head. Red gun flag laws, going after your free speech under the guise of hate speech. Asked to censor the net with artificial intelligence because he said him on the Epstein plane was a fake photo. It wasn't a fake photo. It's been around for years. AI didn't create it. I mean, come on. We're getting played by actors. They're all playing a script. Now, why do they hate Christians so much? Because there's power in Christianity. You have power in prayer, getting in the Word of God, fasting, being righteous, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's power in Christianity. I thought this was an outstanding video that he just articulates this perfectly.
Watch this. I knew that Christianity was the truth because that's the only religion that the occult's afraid of.
Okay. You got to say it again, man.
That's the only religion that the occult, these Luciferians, that's the only religion they're afraid of. Because that's the only one that has power. Buddha, the devil, is not afraid of Buddha. The devil's not afraid of Muhammad. He's not afraid of Krishna. No disrespect to people, but they're not. It's a false religion, bro. So why would the devil be afraid of something that he created?
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
the gospel is the only thing that the devil couldn't create. And so that's why, look at it. We just saw recently with Hollywood, they had cast like a lesbian black woman to play Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They don't do that with Islam. They don't do that with...
Never.
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 Why? Because there's no weight in those religions. There's no weight in the spirit. Like, none. Like, we see time and time again that Christianity is the only thing that's mocked. They won't even report about Christian persecution. 70 Christians get beheaded in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and where's the news media at? The only major outlet I saw reported was Fox News, and that was like 5 days after the story had already gotten really big. But guarantee, if there was an Islamophobic attack or something like that, or an anti-Semitic attack,
oh my
it would be all over the news.
Come on.
All over.
Think he nails it, my friends. And I had, I don't know if it's a dream or a vision recently. Going back to these Luciferians, literally, I saw the Freemasons, all these different secret society logos, almost moving like a scroll, like a screen, just moving, just flashing up. Hundreds of them, relatively fast. I only recognized two or three of them. And then all of a sudden, it ended, and I saw a cross at the bottom of the scroll, and the left part of the cross, as you look at the cross, the left part of the cross was bent, was bending, and it started to do like an at sign around the cross. And I heard my spirit, their goal is to destroy Christianity, to compromise Christianity. Christianity is where the power is. So that will segue into we have power. I want to dive deep into some scripture. John 16:33, King James Version, "These things I have spoken unto you," Jesus is talking, "that in me, in Jesus, ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Think about Matthew 24. "After the tribulation, the sun and moon shall be darkened." And that's when the saints, Christians, the elect, will be caught up. And it gets more interesting. Think about the power that we have in the word, live righteously, pray, fasting, armor of God. Pastor Larry, he just did 7 VCasts. I'm going to repost them coming up. I think he has 200 pages of notes. So he's been in deep study the last 3 months. And again, make Jesus your first love. Have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This reminds me of the scripture, love Jesus more than you love your kids. My ex-wife had a problem with that scripture. I remember we ruminated, talked about it. And sure enough, she's fallen away. But let's read 1 John 5:5. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So we've overcome this world. We've won already. It may look like these Luciferians are winning. God is allowing it to try us, my friends. Let's read Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. "To him," to the Christian, "that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame." Jesus overcame. Even though he was crucified, he overcame. "And I am set down with my Father in his throne." He rose again. He was the ultimate perfect sacrifice to redeem us from our sins, to have everlasting life. I mean, it's just the biggest miracle of all time. Mind-bending. On how the Old Testament and sacrificing the animals to atone for your sins, and all the mentions of Jesus in the Old Testament. Every time I read the Old Testament, I look for Jesus on every page, and you can find it, my friends. Undeniable that the Bible is mathematically impossible to not be true, especially when you look at how they found Noah's Ark, they found the Red Sea parting and all the remnants thereof. They found the you know, when God came down with fire, when the Red Sea parted, there's actually a glass beach. They found Sodom and Gomorrah. Every time some scholar says, "Did this person really exist in the Old Testament?" they'll find a coin. I mean, the Lord will not be mocked. But let's read Revelation 12:11 as well for my pre-trib rapture friends. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." That's where you need to be spiritually, my friends, because this is moving fast. I don't know if it's 5 years, 20 years, I don't know. But the signs are here. And I want to end with this. The Lord will not be mocked. This is an old-time preacher. I just thought this was fascinating.
I went to a grave back in Pennsylvania where a man named Bedell has stood and cursed God and said, if there is a God, let snakes inhabit my grave. I'm telling you the truth because I was there. I must have seen 12 snakes. There must have been 100 holes. He was placed upon a slab this high and held a Bible under his foot and his hand raised. And nobody put them there. Nobody put them there. Charles Bedell, his grave is infested with snakes. Don't be challenging God. He might accept your challenge.
So we've already won, my friends. No matter how hard it gets, we've won. Thank you for your support. Please share this video. And for my Christian brothers and sisters, God bless you.
I actually grew up a Christian, but I didn't grow up in a church that was really filled with the Spirit necessarily. It was a sweet church. It wasn't legalistic, but I didn't know a lot of people that said they were hearing from God. We weren't talking about miracles and fighting for healing on things. It was just a sweet church. I was a Christian all the way up until college, and a professor made me question everything. It was a difficult time in my life. There were some other things happening. It was someone that I really respected. And so that was the first time that I really questioned God. I became a nurse, and there's a really amazing thing that happened in the ICU that really brought me back to Jesus. I was working in the cardiovascular intensive care unit, taking care of a patient at night. The patient next to mine had to cover for a lunch break. And during the lunch break, he coded. And as he arrested, I was standing in the hallway. I saw him. I saw the heart rate go into a very critical arrhythmia called VTAC. I saw his eyes roll back. I knew it was real, which often the alarms are fake, but I went into the room with a crash cart as his eyes were rolling back. We did a full code. I called for help as I was going back, and I said, guys, you need to come in here and help me. A whole sequence of events happened when he was completely pulseless with no blood pressure, no breathing. He was blue. I felt with my hands there was no pulse whatsoever. Mm-hmm. We did several rounds of CPR on this gentleman. So sad. He had been such a great patient the whole night. But anyway, he finally comes back, and we were so excited when he responded, and everyone goes out of the room. I go check on my patient. I just had a one-to-one fresh post-op patient, and they were doing fine. So I came back in, and I'm in the room by myself, and I'm cleaning up the floor because lots of things pop off, vials and different things. And the nurse is outside the room charting what was happening, what had happened during the code. And as I'm on the floor, the patient looks down at me and he says, hey, because I just want to say thank you. And I looked up at him and I said, oh, I said, you're welcome. That's kind of what they pay me for, you know, and I'm glad you're okay. And he said, no, I don't think you understand. He said, I saw you. Oh, he saw me when I was coming in with a crash cart. And he said, no, I saw everything. He said, I was floating in the room. And he points to the bottom of his bed, to the ceiling. And he said, I was right there on the ceiling. And I could see everything that was happening. And he proceeds to tell me every single thing that happened when he was completely pulseless, clinically dead, even knew what had happened outside the room. And that's the part, Pastor David, that I couldn't get past. Hmm. Because I thought, you know, what if there's some level of activity, you know, right, with his hearing is last to go, right? But he knew what had happened on the outside of the room. And when I went to confirm it, everything that he told me was true. And in that moment, I got very emotional because obviously this is a time I was really questioning things. I was in my head and I was thinking, oh my goodness, you know, my professor was wrong. We are spirits. And then it was a sequence of thoughts like, we go somewhere when we die, heaven and hell. And then it was like, oh my goodness, it came to me. I have denied Jesus for the last several years.
Wow.
And it was so overwhelming. Like, I denied the one who died for me.
In many Middle Eastern countries, it's illegal to share the Christian message. And so what is God doing? He's bringing dreams about Jesus. This is a phenomenon that is sweeping the Middle East. So I'll give you an example. It's a woman named Noor, mother of eight, Muslim, lives in Cairo. One night she has a Jesus dream. It's the most profound, vivid dream, unlike any other she's ever had. And Jesus appears to her. And she feels the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the kindness of Jesus just radiating from him. And she's overwhelmed by it. She's never felt anything like it. And they're walking along a lake. And she says, Jesus, tell me more about you. And he says, my friend will tell you. And she says, who's your friend? And he gestures to another person she hadn't even noticed because she was so mesmerized by Jesus. A guy was walking with them along the lakeside. She wakes up from the dream. The next day, she goes to the crowded marketplace in Cairo. She sees the man from her dream. She goes up to him. You were the man in my dreams. And he said, did you have a dream about Jesus? He was a missionary undercover in Cairo.
My daughter drowned. She was underwater, according to our Ring cameras that recorded every bit of it, for 2 minutes and 38 seconds.
Damn, bro.
She's got baby lungs. She was 2 years old.
Yeah, dead, bro.
She should have been. My wife jumped in, scooped her out, said that she was blue and her mouth was open and she was at the bottom of the pool looking up. And my wife freaked out, obviously. Jumped in, picked her up, jumped out of the pool to obviously try to resuscitate her, get her some help. Before she even got out of the pool, she started crying. My wife didn't resuscitate her. Nobody resuscitated her. She just started crying.
That's crazy.
Color came back, called the ambulance. They rushed out. It was a big deal. A long story short, for the next couple of weeks, she just kept saying, Yahshua, Yahshua. My wife's like, what are you saying? Yahshua. What's that? My friend. I saw him. You can totally hear it. I'll play it for you.
That's crazy.
I'll play it for you.
What are you saying?
Yeshua.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm asking for a sign. My daughter should have drowned, and now she's saying Yeshua. Thank you for doing that.
Do you know who started ChatGPT? Elon Musk started ChatGPT.